Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Winter is coming. Heavy rain, sleet, snow, and ice. Are your tires up for the challenge? Tread confidently in winter's worst with the new set of tires from Tire Rack. They sell only the best, like the full line of Rutterstein tires. Go to TireRack.com/sports. Tell them what you drive. Your tires will be shipped fast and free to you or to one of over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Oh, yeah. It is the Odd Couple. I'm Chris Broussard alongside my partner,
Rob Parker.
And we are broadcasting live from the TireRack.com studio.
We'll do it live.
We are brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. You can get a multi-policy discount by combining your motor, cycle, RV, boat, ATV, and more. All of your protection in one place. It's a wonderful thing, trust me. So bundle and save at progressive.com. It is the Odd Couple, and it is a trash talking Tuesday, which means that you will be able to call in and trash anyone or anything in the world of sports. You have 30 to 40 seconds to do so in the last hour of the show, so get your takes ready. With that said, let me welcome in my partner, Rob Parker. What's up, man?
What's happening, Mr. Chris Broussard? How are you?
I am fantastic. How about you?
Doing well on this Trash Talking Tuesday for sure. Ready to go?
Of course, we want to know who you trashing.
Jets fans.
Wow.
I have to trash Jets fans. Because
wow.
Chris, wow.
J-E-T-E, Jets.
I mean, don't they have enough problems? My gosh.
No,
now
but
you got to trash them, a native New Yorker?
Yes, I know everybody
to be
says.
Be here giving them love. Giving
no
them comfort,
love.
Giving them support.
No, no.
A shoulder to cry on.
The issue is that they've really talked themselves into thinking that they were going to be okay without Aaron Rodgers and that Zach Wilson was improving and, you know, and they could still win and all this. Chris, they got 8 touchdowns, offensive touchdowns, and eight games. Like didn't, were you were surprised they didn't score? I think I said this yesterday to Rob G and to Alex. Watching the Monday Night Football pregame show when all 4 NFL former player analysts picked the Jets, I'm like, what team are you watching? But we'll get into that.
Hold on. The Jets, Rob, they beat Philadelphia, the best team in the league, by record at least, and they beat Buffalo. I'm not saying the Jets are all that. I'm just saying they beat those teams.
They got 3 touchdowns in those games. That Giants game was god-awful. They could have easily lost that. They're not that good. I'm just saying.
No, I'm not saying they're that good, but they beat those teams.
I didn't believe they had any chance to win last night.
They beat Denver, too, which beat Kansas City. I mean, so I actually thought they were going to win yesterday. So I got to sign off on that. They're 4-4.
They are very – look, do Chris. I think they're going to make the playoffs? No. Rob, they are very much alive for the
No, they're not. It's the same
they
team
are,
we saw last year. No, they're not. No, not if he's the quarterback, they won't be.
He
we
was the quarterback
this.
When they beat Buffalo.
They were 7-3
and
last
they
year.
The
they had a better record last year, and they didn't make the playoffs.
I don't think they're going to make it. I'm just saying, you're talking like – I get that Zach Wilson, sad to say, is horrible, okay? But the defense is great. They should have ran the ball more. I get it. You play the Chargers, you want to throw because their defense is terrible against
and
the pass.
And they couldn't even get anything. They're the last-ranked defense, Chris,
against
in the air.
Against the pass here.
And they couldn't get a touch. They couldn't get a touchdown.
They should have ran the ball.
3 for 17 on third down. Are you kidding?
We'll get into that. Actually, we'll get into that right away. But let's introduce the Odd Couple crew. On the ones and twos, the one, the only, DJ Alex Teichert, a.k.a. Alex the Vegan. Super producer Rob G is at home producing the show. I'm not sure who's in the studio. Alex?
We got Patrice in today, Patrick.
Patrick, what up,
hey,
bro?
Hey, Patrick.
What's up, guys?
Hey, Patrick, I just got to say one thing to you.
What's that?
NBC you later.
I'll CBS you soon, Rob Parker.
There we go.
Really?
That's what we're it's doing. Bad, Chris.
It is My bad, gosh. But that's our thing, Patrick, right, Alex?
It's our thing.
Your
Come on.
Thing and be whack. All right, but anyway, on the updates, our man Isaac Lowenkron, Ilo, and on social media, Elijah Sabunya, Ephraim Salam at the bottom of the hour. All right, Rob, we're going to talk about that Jets game. They lost 27-6. Again, their defense is one of the better defensive units in the league. But, Rob, I mean, they gave up a special teams touchdown. Check this out. Over the last – I can't remember how many years, but last few years, there are 7 punt returns for a touchdown in the whole NFL. And 4 of them are against the Jets. So they have more punt returns for TDs against them than the entire league combined over the last few years. And last night you got one. Then you also had a big defensive play where I think the Chargers got the ball at the 1 after a fumble. Zach Wilson fumbled twice. So it was the defense. You can't really blame them, but the offense is horrific. And Rob, you feel like Aaron, the big story, I guess the bigger story, was Aaron Rodgers throwing the football, actually doing 3-step drops and throwing the ball 55 to 60 yards into the end zone pregame. He meets up with Derwin James. You know, he's talking to the players after the game. Derwin James asks him, when are you coming back? And he says, give me a few weeks. And that became the big story. Now, he went on Pat McAfee's show today and kind of, you know, downplayed it, just said he's ahead of schedule, which is obvious, but that he's not ready to get under center. So I still think it's a very, very, very much of a long shot, but Rodgers is certainly playing that up. But you wonder, like, why is he even toying with this idea?
I got two things. First of all, it's the Jets thing that I brought up. I just have no idea, I'm dead serious. Like, people have seen this movie. You can't win when your quarterback can't get anything done. I don't care how good your defense is. You can't have 8 touchdowns in 8 games. 4 of them were one-play drives. So that means in 8 games, you've had, Chris, 4 drives.
That's
impossible, Chris. It's almost impossible. And then they can't convert on third down. They you can't win like this, and I blame the Jets. GM, I blame the Jets coach, everybody. When Aaron Rodgers goes down, Chris, 4 plays into the season, pick up the phone, call Carson Wentz.
You saw what happened.
All right, now he's going to the Rams, right? Because Stafford's out.
Yep.
You got to make that move, Chris, with the defense you're talking about to give yourself a fair shot. You had a good defense last year. You stuck with Zach Wilson too long. They were 7-3 and didn't make the playoffs. Why would you do the same exact movie with the same guy who you know can't get it done? You're wasting another season. And for Aaron Rodgers, Dude, you got to be crazy, Meshuggah, to want to rush back. Did he watch the offensive line last night, Chris, with the 8 sacks? Go ahead, Aaron. Right, go back and go play behind that so they can break your leg in two and end your career. He must be crazy to think about coming back. They haven't fixed anything.
No, look, the only place you and I disagreed, you didn't even say it tonight, but you thought they shouldn't have gone into the season with Zach Wilson as the backup. I felt like, look, he's your number two pick. I understand feeling like, look, he can be a freaking backup, all right? And he can learn at the feet of Aaron Rodgers for the whole season, and maybe that'll help you. Obviously, Rodgers did take him under his wing. So I get that, but I'm with you, Rob, in that, I mean, we were saying it, both of us. Once you saw that Zach Wilson really wasn't ready, and he's not ready, and the fact that in horrible games, I shouldn't say horrible games, but when he plays poorly but actually looks like a legitimate NFL quarterback, we give him praise. Just for looking serviceable. That's how bad he's been.
Not for
Rob.
Looking good, right?
Right. Like, oh, he knows what he's doing. You know what I mean? Forget anything productive. Just really just not being a negative. And last night when he has the two fumbles, he threw for 260, 260 some odd yards. 60 of that came on the last drive when the game was over. But Robert Saleh, Rob, and he meant well, I think. I'm pretty sure he did. But he was asked if this was, you know, about Zach's performance. He said it wasn't his best game, but he said it also wasn't his worst game by far. Like, you know, like he said it wasn't his – I think he said something, but it also wasn't close to his worst game. Like, that was a bad – and we didn't mean to insult him, but it was like, dude, no touchdowns, 2 fumbles, and it wasn't his worst game, you know, and it wasn't. It was actually, passer rating-wise, I think it was his 3rd best of the season. But that's how bad he is. I'm with you in that. We said it. Kirk Cousins, now I know he's hurt now. Who knows if he would have got hurt, you know, playing for the Jets. You just never know. But they could have went for him. Carson Wentz, Rob. Even, Rob, if they feel like we want to see what Zach can do, fine. Still, Rob. Why don't you still bring in Carson Wentz to back him up? And Carson would have been starting within a few weeks, obviously. But you know what I'm saying? You could just be like, we're bringing in Carson to back up Zach. We just saw Aaron get hurt. Who knows if Zach's going to not get hurt. So they just – and then, Rob, even – look, what does Minnesota do when Kirk Cousins goes down? They go out and get Joshua Dobbs. And I know Joshua Dobbs is nobody's idea of Joe Montana, but still, he obviously is a competent NFL quarterback. I mean, you saw him win with Minnesota Sunday after being there for less than a week, not even knowing the plays. You could a Jacoby Brissett, a Jameis Winston. There are a lot of serviceable backups that they could have went and gotten. And, Rob, it is a shame because the defense is legit. The defense essentially gave up 2 touchdowns last night. It's a good defense. It's a playoff caliber defense. And not only that, Rob, Garrett Wilson is a very good receiver. Breece Hall is a very good running back. Obviously, Dalvin Cook. Like, they've got pieces. The offensive line is bad, flat out bad. But a good quarterback can make that offensive line look better. So I'm with you on that they should have went and got somebody. And Zach is not ready, man. I mean, this is 3rd year. And Rob, I've said it before, a Joe Burrow, but of course, Joe Burrow's Joe Burrow. But what about a CJ Stroud? And heck, Joshua Dobbs. Guys like that remove the excuses. They remove the, oh, he's only in his 3rd year. They remove the, oh, the offensive line is bad. They remove all of that stuff because they're getting it done. And Joe Burrow, yeah, he might be great, is great. CJ Stroud, maybe he's going to be the next great one. Certainly having a great rookie year. But Joshua Dobbs? So it's just, it's a mess with the Jets. Rodgers, I agree. I don't know why he'd be thinking about coming back this year anyway. I think even if he's ready to play, the Jets would be wise to be like, let's just get you ready for next year. I understand, Rob, him throwing on the sideline or, you know, before the game can motivate, maybe can motivate the Jets. Maybe that's his incentive for doing this, that they see how hard he's working to try to get back. So they think, you know what, if we could just hold on and stay in the race, Rodgers is going to come back and help us. Or look how hard he's working through injury. We should be working that hard to win these games or to play better or to be the best players we can be. So maybe that's it. And I think there might be some value there. But I just, Rob, I still think it'd be incredible if he were to come back this year.
I think it would be flat out dumb. That's it. No matter how much he wants it, it would be dumb. Because if he gets hurt, Chris, then you're lost the second season and you lost his career. So I just wouldn't chance it. And here's the number that you need to know about third downs. I told you they were 3-for-17 last night on third down. Their third down success rate, Chris, this season, 22%. The lowest in the NFL over the past 45 years. No one has had a third down conversion rate that low in 45 years in the NFL. And they keep running that kid out, telling you that they're going to make the playoffs and because their defense is good enough. You're kidding yourself.
Well, I don't know that they're telling anybody they're going to make the playoffs. It's just the fact that they're in the hunt. But I'll say this. I think we're talking Eric Mangini, coach Eric Mangini, when we were on First Things First today, he brought up a great point about how they need to be running the ball. I get you go in to play the Chargers who have a horrible pass game defensively and you think we can throw on them. But look, Rob, look at the Browns, another team with a fantastic defense. Deshaun Watson had been out. You think Zach Wilson's numbers are bad? You should see P.J. Walker's. All right, Zach Wilson has 5 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. Not good. P.J. Walker has 1 touchdown, 5 interceptions. So Zach Wilson's throwing for more yards than P.J. P.J. looks better to me on the field, but statistically not doing well. And they were able to win games because they ran the ball. They kept pushing to run the ball. Now, they have a fantastic offensive line, but the Jets' line blocks better than it pass protects. So, all right, let's throw it out to the listeners. 877-99 on Fox. 877-996-6369. It's your turn to weigh in. Who deserves the most blame for this disappointing, horrific Jets offense? And should Aaron Rodgers even consider rushing himself back this season to play? We will continue the conversation with you next. It's Chris and Rob, The Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Thanks for listening to The Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic, 'cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
All right, game off. We got to pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying, flag on the play. You've already talked about that, but there is just so much good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for time tournaments where you work together to build each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. Unique stickers you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes. Cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. Hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their unique mini games like Digging for Treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go, so get off the bench and go download it now free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on!
All right, it is the Odd Couple. This is Chris. That is Rob, and we are live from the TireRack.com studios. And all of you Odd Couple fans out there, if you miss any portion of the show, just download the podcast. New episodes go up daily on all platforms. Just type in Odd Couple wherever you get your podcast, download the show, and hit the follow button so you don't miss us again. Bottom of the hour, we've got Kurt Heelan, NBCSports.com's lead NBA writer and managing editor. It'll be great to talk to him about the start to the NBA season. And then, of course, finishing off the hour, you with Trash Talking Tuesday. All right, Rob, last night in a very good game, the Miami Heat held off the Los Angeles Lakers 108-107. LeBron James went back to Miami, of course, where he won his first two championships and dropped 30 points on them, but it wasn't enough as they didn't get the win. But LeBron spoke before the game about his career in Miami and whether or not his career would be the same had he not gone there. Here's what he said. It's a long two good quotes, Rob, so I'm going to read them both and then get your reaction. First, he says, I think I would still be at this level no matter if I would have came here or not. Let's not get it twisted. The 4 years I was here, it was amazing. I loved everything about it. Loved this franchise. This franchise is top tier. It's one of the best franchises in the world. But as far as my career was going to be my career as far as individually because I know how much I put into the game and I know how much I strive to be as great as I can be. But as far as what I was able to learn here was second to none, that's for sure. He added this, Rob. I came here for one reason and one reason only, and that was to win championships. That was my only goal. That was the only reason I teamed up with Wade and Bosch, because I felt like I couldn't do it in Cleveland. We couldn't. I tried to recruit guys to come to Cleveland. I tried to go and help the upstairs, and it wasn't happening. So I had an opportunity to be a free agent. So I did what I thought was best, not only for my career, but for me at that point in time. Rob Parker, your thoughts? Let me just ask this way. First of all, do you think LeBron's career, you know, he essentially be viewed the same way, would have played out the same way and everything had he not gone to Miami?
I think he would have won at least a championship, maybe two, had he stayed in Cleveland the entire time. I've said this to you. You said it to me. I think he sold himself short. I think he panicked. I think he thought that he was going to be this great player who never won. And there was no reason to believe that he wouldn't be able to eventually win. And I'm still like the idea that no one wanted to play with him is still mind-boggling to me. But it speaks volumes if he's saying that nobody he tried to recruit guys, nobody wanted to play. Because it's not just about Cleveland. I don't believe that. I just can't believe, Chris, you play for 4 or 5 months. You don't have to live there your whole life. You got all people play there.
No, right. First of all, you're traveling all through the year anyway. And then, guys have houses all over the place.
People played in Green Bay, Wisconsin. The late Reggie White decided to sign there. Chris, there's nothing there for a black person. What is there?
Well, seriously.
But there was an organization there. You know what I mean? And so that part is this. And I'm going to say one more thing, and then – have at it. If he doesn't go to Miami, I don't think he has the other two championships. But I don't think it would be negative to him because.
So you think he would essentially have two championships?
He probably
in 20
would
years.
Have. He probably would have two, but probably in probably less trips. You know what I mean? Like probably two in less trips, or because I'm not thinking if he stayed the whole time, if we're taking away the one in L.A., are we doing that or no?
No, I mean, it's all on the table. Yeah.
I just think that he would have more than one championship, and probably people wouldn't have that. He had to go team up with other people to win kind of narrative that takes a little something from him.
Well, here's my take. Number one, LeBron, I don't know. He probably was doing a little more recruiting toward his last few years in Cleveland. I know he was trying to get Bosh to go to Cleveland. And the year they all ended up going to Miami, he was trying to get Bosh to come play with him in Cleveland. There had been, a pursuit of Amari Stoudemire a little bit earlier than that. But early in LeBron's career, he wasn't recruiting. I remember talking to LeBron, doing an long interview with him. This was around 2005 or 6, and he clearly felt like, "Oh, I'm a ring. I'm gonna win rings if you on my team." Like, and he knew he was gonna ring. The term he used, he said, "I'm not gonna be a ring chaser," and I don't think he is. But I'm saying that's what he said. I'm not gonna be a ring chaser.
When he said that, Chris, what did you think when he said it at that point? Did you think?
No, at that point, I was firmly convinced he was going to win championships in Chicago, in Cleveland, like LeBron or like Jordan had done in Chicago.
Right.
I'm not saying six necessarily, but I felt he was going to have that type of run in Cleveland. And I know the summer Michael Redd, Ray Allen, and Larry Hughes were all free agents. LeBron didn't recruit. Michael Redd is from Ohio, Columbus.
Right.
He could have been coaxed into going to the Cavs, but LeBron didn't. LeBron put out like a little video for the Cavs that they could send to all the free agents, but he didn't personally recruit like he started doing eventually at all the stops he was in. And so I just felt I agree with you that he was feeling the pressure of, man, I got to win rings. Like, I can be great individually all I want, but they're comparing me to Jordan. I'm supposed to be the next Jordan. I've got to win championships. And I agree, because we both talked about it on this show. We agreed that we thought he could have won in Cleveland. And here's what I'm going to say, Rob, that you didn't say. I think LeBron would still have more than two championships. Had he not gone to Miami, I don't know if he'd have stayed in Cleveland his entire 20 years or if he would end up going to L.A. or wherever, but I think he would have had probably 3 or 4 championships. And I think, Rob, his GOAT argument would actually be stronger. Had he stayed in Cleveland and won championships more, you'd have had to win probably 4 to get in the conversation with Jordan. So had he stayed there and won 4 or won 2 there, gone somewhere else and won his 2 other ones, I don't think, like, part of the reason, particularly older guys, Rob, and the older players, one of the reasons that they seem to underrate LeBron, you and I both think a lot of these guys are underrating him. Some are hating, But yeah.
Some of
it's that they feel like you had to go and team up. And that's where he, to many people, he'll always fall short of Jordan, because Jordan was just like, he went to a horrible franchise. They were worse than Cleveland.
Cleveland had some
success with Brad Daugherty and Mark Price, and they were worse than Cleveland had been in Chicago, and Jordan took whatever they put next to him. I know Pippen became a great player,
but he wasn't some big star right in the beginning.
He was a freaking JUCO, you know, what, Central Arkansas player? Like, and that's the difference. I've said it before, I'll say it again, Rob. It's like if I go to the park and I sit there and watch the players play for an hour, and then I pick the best four that are on the sidelines, or, you know, not on the other team playing.
Right.
And I say, all right, we're going to go, and we run the court for 2 hours. That's fine, but that's not as impressive as the guy that just walks up there, don't know nobody. Yo, just give me four other cats.
Who are the next four? Who's the next?
Right,
it doesn't matter.
Whoever.
Who's got next? You've got four guys. I'll be the fifth, right? Yep. And then you just go out there and play.
So I actually think, Rob, he would have had to win more than two. And I think in the scenario you painted, Rob, if let's say he stays in Cleveland, wins two rings, I don't even think he's in the GOAT conversation. Two rings is not enough.
Yeah, but the only thing is he doesn't have the six losses. I'm just saying.
Well, he might have several losses, but I don't think people hold that you didn't win more rings.
I
don't think that many people hold getting there and losing against him.
No, I think that losing that many times, it's hard to look at somebody.
Well, yeah, he
and think
lost more than he won.
Right, that's what I'm saying. To think that you're the greatest of all time when you've lost more than you won. So I think that is an issue. I'm not so sure that he would have more than two, because look at what it took for him to win those other two. And you take that stop in Miami away, the trips, all, you know, Cleveland with some of the players that he had, he didn't win all the time there. They won 60 games a lot. Then he goes to L.A. with Anthony Davis. It's been, if you were to be honest about his run in L.A., and you could say there's a lot of it has to do with injuries and all kinds of other things, but it's been disappointing. Like, you add Anthony Davis to LeBron James, you would think that you would have at least, been to maybe another championship or so coming out of the West. And that just wasn't the case. Three times they didn't even make the playoffs.
Injuries has a lot to do with it. And his age, even though he's still putting up great numbers, we know he's not as good as he used to be. I think, Rob, I will say this, and you've alluded to it. And you know how great I think LeBron is. But it's been hard for him to win championships. It has been hard. The first one against OKC, that was, you know, a five-game series. Durant, Westbrook, Harden, all very young.
And that one,
and
right,
if you
there,
even
remember.
Say the first year, the year before when LeBron and him got to the finals and lost to Dirk Nowitzki in Dallas, I mean, I thought they should have won that series. I thought they were the better team, but they fell apart. And that was obviously hard. So that first, if you attach that to the first championship, you can say that was hard. The second one was darn near miraculous for Ray Allen to hit that three-pointer. You and I were there. People had left the game in Miami.
They left the building. They were banging on the door.
And got locked out when they
were trying to get back.
Couldn't get back in. So that was very hard. Then the third championship, the first one in Cleveland, they're down 3-1. Great comeback, but still very hard. And he gets credit because it was the first 3-1 comeback in finals history. And then the one in L.A., Rob, the bubble. I mean, that was, you know, I mean, like you said, he's been here, 5 years? And that's the one ring he's got. So it feels like these, as great as LeBron is, these rings have not come easy. None of them come easy. But, I mean, it just, most of them haven't been that smooth run where they were just, you know, blowing people away. Like that, I remember the year they won it in Miami when they won 27 straight in the regular season. I believe it was 27. But the finals was tough. So, yeah, it's it's an interesting discussion. I do think he'd still be the all-time leading scorer. When he said individually, his career would be what it is.
Yeah, that there would be no reason.
Doubt about
there's
that.
No reason right. for
he,
him is, not
he
to
he would
be
have
able to
owned
that.
The record books as he does now. But the winning, how many would he have won, is the question. All right, next, Rob, we will get into Anthony Davis. He's hurt. That's next. Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to check us out live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could. Would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
All right, game off. We gotta pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying, flag on the play. You've already talked about that, but there is just so much good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. Unique stickers you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes. Cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. Hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their unique mini games like Digging for Treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on!
It is the Odd Couple. I'm Chris. He's Rob. We're live from the TireRack.com studios. Test your skills, guys, on Prize Picks this football season for a fun way to win up to 25 times your cash. Prize Picks, daily fantasy sports made easy. Visit prizepicks.com/odd100 and use code ODD100 for a first deposit match up to $100 today. Bottom of the hour, trolling or rolling with our man Martin Weiss of the Martin and VJ show, heard every Saturday, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. He'll join us at the bottom of the hour. Rob, let's start here this hour. Interesting story from Howard Beck, who we both know well. Howard Beck of The Ringer. Here's the title of it, Rob. James Harden can't win his legacy back. And here's the subhead, Rob. There's no denying Harden is one of the greatest players of his generation. But after forcing three trades in less than 3 years and burning everything down along the way, it's unlikely people will remember him best for what he did on the floor. You agree with that, Rob? Like, you think there's championship, MVP, not that he's going to win the MVP this year, but, you know, nothing can really redeem the wreckage that he's wrought over the last few years as far as his legacy.
It's funny because me and you had this conversation and you didn't agree. You disagree with me when I said that there'll be some writers and people will hold this against him. You were saying, oh, he's a first ballot Hall of Fame no matter what.
Oh, he's first ballot.
No, I know, but I'm saying, but what he's writing.
Beck's not writing that he's not going to be in the Hall of Fame.
I didn't say that. I never said he wouldn't be in the Hall of Fame, but I'm saying he's talking about his legacy. And I said it, four teams in 22 months. Some people will hold that against him, Chris. I don't think that they could totally keep him out of the Hall of Fame, but he might not get in right away, or there'll be people who will, you know, have a negative feeling about James Harden, especially if he doesn't win. Now, here's my point. I don't agree with Howard, because if James Harden leads the Clippers that have never won anything, to helps to lead them, and plays well. Now I'm not talking about being a fifth wheel, but plays well, makes some big shots, plays like he played in Boston last year, where no Embiid, God forbid, and I even hate to even say it, I'm just going to say one of their other star players, Chris, is out. And he's hurt and can't play for the Clippers. And all of a sudden, James Harden is not the fourth option or the third option. He's the first or second option. And he plays well. And the Clippers beat Denver and go to the finals and they win or whatever. You can't tell me that you won't look at James Harden differently. I think it's easy to say that because you don't see the championship. Right. Or you don't see how it plays out. But I don't believe that. I believe if he finally, his story could be, he was searching for a home. He was confused. He thought it was Brooklyn. He thought it was this team. Thought it was that. And ultimately, he came back home to the Clippers, played with people he really wanted to play, and he performed.
You writing
and did
that
well.
Story?
Yeah, it's a Hollywood script.
All he wanted was a home.
He was looking for a home. He was a lost puppy, and he wanted a home. So I'm just saying there is a scenario, I think, Chris, where his legacy would be changed. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I think, first of all, let me say this. And I, you know, James Harden, when you look at him, it's easy to just say, oh, he bailed on three teams. Let's look at him, Rob. And I'm not trying to defend him.
Please,
but I'm just
speaking
the truth.
Please don't.
Houston was understandable, right? As far as him wanting out. He and the Rockets they were going in a different direction. They were no longer trying to win. They were going young. He's like, I still want to win. I'm in my prime. You guys are on a different timetable now. They agreed to trade him. He comes out, plays great like usual. And then it looks like they're softening on, well, maybe we'll keep him. And so then he goes into the tank. I'm not advocating this quitting. But he goes into the tank and then they realize he got to trade you. And so they trade him. Brooklyn, now I still think he should have stayed in Brooklyn. Even without Kyrie, Rob, him and Kevin Durant, that's a monstrous team if Harden plays well. But you also can see he's like, well, Kyrie, well, I came here to play with Kyrie and KD. Kyrie's not playing. He won't take the vaccination. So now he's not playing. Remember, Harden left before Kyrie decided to start playing.
It was over.
Right. So again, somewhat understandable. Philly to me, and I do think, now he made some bad decisions himself. He should have signed the extension with the Nets. Right. He cost himself $100-something million. Should have signed the extension with them. That's on him. But I do believe he thought he was getting that money in Philly. He doesn't get it. He's upset. I get the human element. But, Rob, that to me, that's the worst one because, number one, you had a great basketball situation. You're a point guard. You've got one of the best big men in the league in Joel Embiid. So what are you looking for? And you had other good players around you. So I think that was the one where you could say, really, that was ridiculous. But I agree with you, Rob. I think if they win the championship and he's just, let's say he plays well, he's the point guard and Kawhi leads him in scoring, PG 13, Paul George is second. Harden plays well, maybe 19 and 10 assists. That's good.
Right.
But he's clearly the third guy. I don't think that erases people thinking of him. I'm not even talking about the quitting and the demanding trades. I'm talking about the notion that he didn't deliver in big games. I don't think just winning it as the third wheel does that, Rob. Because we said we said he could play poorly and they could still win.
Yeah, but if he plays well and makes big baskets in big moments.
Well, that's a but I'm
no,
I'm saying
I know,
if
but
he
I'm
doesn't.
But I'm giving you a scenario that it could.
So he's their best player?
No, but he makes the biggest shots. Just like that's all it takes. They're down by three. They're going to be. I'm just going to make up some.
I hear you. That I hear you.
They're down by three. He makes the big shot to tie the game. They win it in overtime.
Yes.
He has 8 points. Like something like that.
Where
the game's on the line, you're going to be like, "Oh my God, Harden did it!" You know what I mean?
I agree with that. I'm saying if he just plays well, like he's Chris Bosh.
No.
In the Heat game, you know, Heat championship.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where he makes big baskets.
I agree with you there. If he makes big baskets. Heck, if he's finals MVP, I do
something
think he erases
that, level,
that
right.
part of his legacy. And that's a good question, Rob. What is the biggest stain on his legacy to you? Is it the demanding of the trades, even when you had Hall of Fame teammates? Even Rob jettisoning Dwight Howard, Russell Westbrook, Chris Paul, getting all of them out of Houston, you know, when he got tired of them. Is that bigger or is it not showing up in the big moments, really, you know, melting down in the biggest playoff games?
I still think that as good as he was during the regular seasons, his being AOL, being AWOL, I want to say, being AWOL, Chris,
yeah.
in big moments is what people can think about. Like, Harden's was a great player. Oh, just in the playoffs. I'm not saying he never had any good games.
No, he
hasn't. But you remember the bad ones. You remember those as him disappearing or him. What was the one where the Rockets, Chris?
Right. They were down 3-1 to the Clippers, Doc Rivers Clippers.
Right.
They came back and beat them, and they made that run without Harden, Rob.
Right.
And he was on the bench. He was the star of the team.
And then you remember the other one where when Houston lost and they missed 24 straight threes or whatever it was. You remember that?
Yeah, that was 27 straight, I believe.
26,
that was when
Chris,
they,
27
they
straight.
Had it was against Golden State.
I
agree with you. I think the biggest stain on his legacy, for all the talk about quitting, demanding trades, all that, I think the biggest stain is that he doesn't show up in the big moments, that he chokes in the big moments. Because, Rob, a lot of guys, they haven't demanded trades and done what he did. Allen Iverson, obviously you had the whole practice thing. You had the run-ins with him and Larry Brown. You had, you know, remember the incident with his wife when she was, like, kind of locked out of the house. You had gun play and stuff like that. Like, and then he didn't, after getting to the finals that one year, you know, he didn't have a lot of success winning. He goes to Denver, plays well, but they don't win a playoff series, him and Carmelo. Goes to Detroit. You know how that went. He you know, wasn't happy there coming off the bench and all that stuff. And then, Rob, he goes to Memphis and won't accept coming off the bench and gets cut. And so, like, none of that's remembered. Charles Barkley spit on a fan. through a fan, through a window in Cleveland.
Remember, no, there was a smudge there he was trying to clean off.
You know, Barkley was viewed as a guy that, you know, didn't commit to defense. Didn't, you know, never won, even when he went to Houston.
But he played well. There were times he played really well.
Oh, he's a great, all-time great player. But I'm just saying, like, and Barkley, you could say, obviously, because he's become such a huge TV star, maybe that helped him erase that. But I just think when a guy retires, I don't think for the most part people focus on, like, the negative, whether you want to call them character flaws or just bad incidents, negative incidents that they had. So I tend to think that Harden will be remembered as a great player. And I don't think they're going to win the championship, Rob. But if they do and he leads them, like if he leads them, he's finals MVP or, like you said, hitting big shots, even if he isn't finals MVP.
Right.
Then I think he could, you know, really kind of clean up his reputation as a guy that doesn't deliver in the biggest moments. All right, it is the Odd Couple, Chris and Rob, 877-99 on Fox. Your turn to weigh in. Can James Harden do anything to save his legacy? Your thoughts next. Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the tree of life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.